Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's SmackDown Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, hit us up in the chat room as well, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there too. Well, we had a SmackDown, and they really went all out to promote this week's Backlash. We had video packages. We had in-ring promos. We had behind-the-scenes promos. We had hype. We had commercials for it. And, oh, they managed to get in some wrestling. Very little, but they managed to get in some. I had a lot of people say to me, look, Marcus, you killed Monday Night Raw and maybe you're going to kill SmackDown, but come on, they flew back from Saudi Arabia and everybody was tired and a jet lag and a blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, then explain to me Seth Rollins and Finn Balor, because they didn't seem to be suffering. So I don't buy that. What I do buy is that WWE didn't really have time to really write a cognizant show, so they just flew by the seat of their pants. And that's what we got. So, we get a few interesting things. We get AJ Styles cutting a promo, and Samoa Joe comes out. And Samoa Joe is apparently in the disadvantageous position. Some people like it. Of feuding with two or three people, I guess. He's, I'm going to go and I'm going to fight Roman Reigns. If he's the champion, I'm the next guy. Well, I guess he makes his own decisions on, who the number one contender is. And then he comes out and says, if AJ Styles wins, I'm the number one guy. Suddenly Samoa Joe's the booker. I don't get it. He just arrived on SmackDown. I'm not really sure what he did that he would get a shot at AJ Styles should he win. But at least Joe is good on the mic and he can get some heat. So I'm not going to kill it. I don't understand it, I guess. I don't understand where they're going with this. But while he's being distracted, Nakamura comes, well, his music hits. Joe turns around to see if it's possibly he's coming after him. And lo and behold, he comes from behind AJ Styles and gives him the 156th low blow. Now, this is all building. You know, if you're Wrestling 101, here's what happens, folks. Let me just take you through a course in Wrestling 101. Wrestling 101 says for three straight weeks, Nakamura does nothing but low blow AJ Styles. Low blow, low blow, low blow, low blow, till it gets to the point where you say, man, how many times is he going to nut shot this guy? This is bullshit. And then Sunday, the referee goes down and AJ Styles says, fuck it, and low blows Nakamura and rolls him up for a three count when the referee recovers. That's Wrestling 101. That's AJ Styles saying, okay, you want to nutshot me for three straight weeks? Here's where it counts. Bam. And that's how I'm pinning you. Now, we'll talk on Sunday whether that's going to happen, but that's Wrestling 101. AJ's being made to look a little silly here because he knows that Nakamura's doing this constantly and doesn't seem to be able to stop him from doing it, and the extra added distraction of Samoa Joe and what could potentially be a feud after this is kind of convoluted. But I thought AJ, and I don't normally take AJ Styles to task because usually he does very well. I thought AJ this week seemed a little, what's the right word for it? Disinterested. I mean, he was going through the motions, but I don't know. This thing's not cranking on all cylinders, and one of the main reasons this isn't cranking on all cylinders is because Nakamura really can't, as a heel, get on a microphone and do what he needs to do to sell this entire thing. That's why they keep letting him do the nutshot thing, because that's the only – he can only translate his I'm a bad guy now by his action. He can't do it on the microphone. And I think it's hurt this feud to a certain extent. So what's your thoughts on that, Todd? I mean, how many nut shots is this guy going to take?
Like you said, I'm getting tired of seeing the little blow every week doing that. It's getting played out.
But you agree with me that if you're a wrestling writer, Wrestling 101 says that match on Sunday, the end of it is AJ Styles out of the referee's sight, gives Nakamura an uppercut low blow and rolls him up for the three count. That's Wrestling 101, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, it is. I don't think they're going to do it, Sabretooth, but that's what it would be.
Well, the thing is, though, that match is a no-DQ match, so he can low blow him all he wants to. The ref can't. It's a no-DQ match.
That's
so
true. It is no-DQ.
I'm not really going to do it. And also, you took the words right out of my mouth. It seems like AJ Styles, he really isn't into this because we've seen, at this point, he should be frustrated. I mean, the same way he was with James Ellsworth, how he kept getting on his nerves, AJ was frustrated as hell. And he should be in this case, but like you said, though, for some reason, he's just not into this feud like he should be. I mean,
yeah,
we've seen AJ frustrated and flustered and pissed off. I mean, and we're not getting that with this feud. And also, as far as Nakamura goes, all you got to do is film his promos backstage. I mean, film them. I mean, do all the retakes or whatever until he gets it right, and then just play that as like a backstage segment. If he can't do it live,
I mean, it would help. That would help. That would certainly help. But I'm glad I'm not the only one who saw this. But yeah, I mean, AJ's very lethargic about this whole thing. And to be honest, this is the guy that when AJ Styles came to the WWE, he said, I hope I get to fight Nakamura. I hope me and Nakamura get to work a program together. Because if we do get to work a program together, we're really going to, I mean, this is going to be big. This is going to be something that the WWE fans is going to want to see. Much like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, said if we get to work a program together, man, we're going to light it up. I think AJ was disappointed in the fans' reaction and the critics' reaction to their WrestleMania match. It wasn't the dream match everyone thought. It wasn't a bad match, but it wasn't what people thought. And then they had that rematch thing. It wasn't really what they thought. I think AJ is frustrated because WWE is not New Japan. And WWE is not going to let him do some of these things that they probably want to do. You're talking about a WWE. Let me just get this off my chest. You're talking about a WWE that potentially, from my sources anyway, say that they are signing Keith Lee to a development deal. I raved about Keith Lee. He's the size of Mark Henry, and he wrestles like Rey Mysterio. He's amazing. One of the best independent wrestlers I've ever seen, and a really nice guy, and really good on the mic, and really good with the fans, really good guy. Told him when I saw him, I'll get my picture with you now, because as soon as the WWE catches wind of you, you're gone. It's exactly what I told him, and apparently that's exactly the way it is. But I'm hearing that the WWE scouts have said, we sort of have a mixed reaction on Keith. He's going to have to change his style, because he does a lot of moves. He does a lot of moves. Okay. What is he supposed to do? We're talking about the WWE. The WWE don't want you to do a lot of moves. They don't want you to do fancy stuff. They don't want you to do this. They don't want you to do that. They want you to go out there and be basic and be an entertainer and get over. That's what they want you to do. And Nakamura is suffering from that because Nakamura is, while he is an entertainer, he needs time to branch out and do his stuff, and they're not giving it to him. And I'm sure AJ Styles would like to recreate some of those memorable matches, and he can't do it. So it's probably pretty frustrating. So that's probably where that goes, Mike. It's probably just a matter of AJ Styles being frustrated with not being able to give the fans the Nakamura AJ that he wanted to give them.
Right, and it's sort of like we said about when we saw the women's tournament and we saw these women – when we saw the Mae Young Classic and we saw, the Kairi Sane and all these guys, all these women that were in that classic and they were doing these things that we don't see on WWE TV, And we said, if they're allowed to do that, then it's going to be good stuff. But again, and even, look, we talked about the the stuff with you know with our favorite Sasha and Bayley. They're just not allowing them to do what they did in NXT. Same thing for Charlotte and some of the other girls. They're not allowing them to do what they did, even in NXT.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. Is the WWE don't want it. I mean, if fans are going to sit there and waiting for something, you're not going to get. At some point in time, you just have to say, they don't serve that at this diner. Okay? That's not what they do. And they're not going to do it. So anyway, we get this whole situation with Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton and The Miz and Shelton Benjamin. And look, this is getting old too. This is the wrestling equivalent of a comedian coming out with a pie. When a comedian walks on stage with a pie, somebody's getting a pie in the face. You already know that's the way the gimmick works. Oh, look, there's a comedian. He's walking out with a pie. Maybe I don't know who's getting the pie in the face, but somebody's getting a pie in the face. Well, it's the same way when you see more than one person interrupt a promo. A tag team match is coming. That's just the way it is. That's how it works. So we end up getting Shelton Benjamin and The Miz, Jeff Hardy, and Randy Orton. And look, the problem with this whole situation is you've boxed yourself into a bit of a corner. The Miz is taking on Seth Rollins. He can't lose prior to Backlash. Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy are fighting each other. So neither one of them can take the pinfall. So the minute this takes place, you as a wrestling fan, do your little math in your head and say, Miz can't lose. That would hurt his Backlash thing with Seth Rollins. These two guys won't lose because that would hurt their title match. So, hey, I wonder who's going to pin Shelton Benjamin. I mean, that's just it. Don't make cookie cutter matches. I would rather see three matches like we saw later on with Sheamus and Xavier Woods, where you say it really doesn't matter who wins much, so I don't know who's going to win, then I would these cookie cutter pie in the face. I know who's going to lose. I just got to figure out who's going to pin them. And gee, Randy Orton gives the RK out of nowhere to Jeff Hardy, who didn't see that coming. So these are so cut and paste. That's what I'm trying to say. These are so cut and paste that after a while, Sabretooth, it just feels stale.
Yes, it does. And it's a shame that they had to use The Miz for that because, I mean, like, there was like a time when Miz was on SmackDown. There was a time where we looked forward to see what Miz was going to say about somebody. Because The Miz works best when he's going personal. I mean, like when he gets personal with somebody. When he got personal with Daniel Bryan. When he did it with Renee Young. When he did it with John Cena. I mean, he works best doing that. And now he's back on SmackDown, like you said. It's just, you know, it's like a parody of what, I mean, he's not even the same old Miz. I mean, like you said, it's like a big old setup for like a cookie cutter match. And Miz is better than that. I mean, he should be used better than that.
He should be. And Mike, talk about cookie cutter. If we go by what the bar said, if we win at the Greatest Royal Rumble, we're going back to SmackDown. Then if The Miz wins at Backlash, then he would be going back to Raw. I mean, going back to Raw, then he would be going back to Raw. So you know The Miz isn't going back to Raw, so The Miz isn't winning.
He's not winning, so that's the thing. I mean, it's like you said, you know, when we see somebody come out with a cake, you know, you then know that somebody that comes out is going into that cake. It's just how they're going to get there, and it's just how they're going to get there and how they're going to, who they're going to put into that cake, you know. It just happened, you know. I mean, it just happens that way. And of course, you know that he had to get the art to make the fans happy, to give the fans something. They give them the RK out of nowhere because it seems like that still remains to be a popular thing right now. And really, Randy Orton is a one-trick pony with this thing. It's an RKO out of nowhere, and that's it. And you can
right.
I mean,
you go into a Bruce Springsteen concert, and you damn sure know he's singing "Born to Run." That's exactly what this amounts to. The problem is the cut and paste booking of this, where you just say, "Well, if you're a wrestling fan, you know Shelton Benjamin's losing. It's just a matter of who pins him," and which is irrelevant. And you already know that if The Miz isn't going back to Raw, which he's not, then he can't win on Sunday. So, again, now you're just looking at, well, we can only hope it's a good match. That's it. From a wrestling fan's perspective, that's the best you can hope. Now, we get a sort of a interesting Big Cass promo where he once again runs down Daniel Bryan. And again, I'm saying to myself, the WWE is painting themselves into a corner with this. Big Cass is coming off pretty well. And it was kind of funny that the midget came down and pretended to be Daniel Bryan and pretended to do the kicks and the whole nine yards. And Cass way over-telegraphed kicking him, though. It took way too long. You knew it was going to happen. And it was like, could you just do this? It loses that impact when you wait that long. You got to, like, it's got to come out of nowhere, like Randy Orton's RKO. You can't just tease it and tease it and tease it and tease it. And then you say, like, oh, he didn't do it now, but he'll do it in a minute. Oh, he didn't do it now. And then all of a sudden, oh, yeah, there he did it. I knew he was going to. No, it's got to come like bam. And you're like, whoa. For a second, I didn't think that was going to happen. Cass is still learning the ropes on that. But it was a pretty good promo. Here's the problem with painting yourself into a corner. If Cass loses to Daniel Bryan on Sunday, Cass's push is over. There's nothing left. You lost to a guy who you're saying isn't a third your size and couldn't hold a candlestick to you to be a five-second match. If Daniel Bryan loses, then the message that's being sent to Daniel Bryan fans is, look, we gave you Daniel Bryan back, but he's not going to be a world beater because we can't trust that he'll stay healthy. We can't trust that he'll stay uninjured. So his job in the WWE is just going to be a build-up guy and maybe a mid-card to higher mid-card guy who, you know, puts up a good fight, but he's not here to win titles anymore. And I don't know if Daniel Bryan fans are going to accept that as good enough. So Sabretooth, this could be an interesting match for that reason.
Yeah, and I love Daniel Bryan as a fan. I mean, I wouldn't accept that neither. I mean, after all this man has been through, he's going to, like, come back just to put people over. And I don't think that he wants that neither. I mean, that's not why he trained all those months and tried to get back just to do that. I mean, who would go through all that just to come back just to put people over like that? I don't think he wants that neither. I mean, but you're right, though. They have painted themselves in a box. So you said, because if Cass loses, yeah. I mean, like, his push is over. Yeah, so I don't know how they're going to so it leaves you wondering, like, what they're going to do Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because it's a bit of a painting into the corner, Mike.
It really is. And look, they've done their damnedest to separate Big Cass from Enzo. You know, this whole thing with Daniel Bryan is just that. It's them continuing to separate Big Cass from Enzo. You know, they're substituting Daniel Bryan for Enzo. If Enzo was still there, they'd still probably be running or trying to run something with that. But this is all this is. And like you said, if Daniel Bryan loses, it's going to piss off the Daniel Bryan fan. And if Big Cass loses, Big Cass's push is over. So the only thing they can do is, you know, double disqualification or double count out or something, you know.
Yeah, but then it's going to lead to a rematch. And look, it depends on what you want to do. I mean, you could put your eggs in this basket. AJ Styles loses to Nakamura. Nakamura then goes through the rematch with AJ Styles, and he's able to pull it out. Maybe he beats, I don't know, maybe he beats a Randy Orton on his way to Daniel Bryan, who just beat Big Cass. That's certainly a possibility. Or maybe he even gets by Daniel Bryan on his way to maybe John Cena getting his record-breaking title victory. the belt around AJ Styles, but then you need some bad guys who's next in line, and I don't know who Nakamura is going to feud with after this because, you know, his worth would be just about zero to SmackDown at that point. Maybe AJ feuds with Big Cass. Maybe he feuds, you know, we don't know. Maybe he feuds with any number of people, but it seems a little bit more like it's set up for a Nakamura win to me, but we'll talk more about that on Sunday. We then get to Xavier Woods versus Sheamus. Look, this is the best match overall on the card because it was one of those that you just say, well, I don't know. It doesn't really matter who wins because they're both tag team. So their deal is their tag team didn't lose. Just one guy from the tag team lost. So I don't know who's going to win. I know it'll be a decent match, and let's see where it leads. So that's what made it more fun to me, is I had no idea who was going to win, and it didn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. It was more like, oh, they want to do this. Let's see where they're going with this. Maybe there's an interference. Maybe there's this. Maybe they're setting up for something else. So to me, Sabretooth, this was the better match of the night.
It really was, and also when he threw, when he tried to throw Xavier out of the ring, and he hit that rope. Was that like a work, or what? I mean, was that like meant to happen, or what? When he caught his head
didn't
on that rope.
Didn't look like it. Yeah, it didn't look like it.
Yeah, I saw that, man. I'm like, whoa. I mean, that was like what happened to Enzo a while back, and I'm like,
yeah, Xavier's been taking a hell of a. Some hell of a bumps from the power bomb on the stairs, and Xavier's been getting banged around a little bit. So, but he's underrated. He's very underrated. And Sheamus is underrated too. I mean, you could say, well, he was the champion. How can he be underrated? But I think his worth to the company even now is somewhat underrated. I still think you got a really good run in Sheamus if you really wanted to push it. But anyway, it was a fun match. No problem with it. Todd, I thought, you know, if they had put on three matches like this, we'd have been better off instead of the cookie cutters.
You're absolutely right. Like you said, like those three good matches, except the cookie cutter matches. I like the match with Sheamus and Xavier Woods was a pretty well.
I mean, we got three matches in a two-hour card. That's what we got. And they weren't overly long. Now, here's the part of this show that worries me the most. I almost jumped out of my chair when Lana came out from the back wearing a Rusev Day t-shirt, and I said, Jesus Christ, finally. Finally, they got the memo. The fans want to see them as a group. Thank you. It's about time. And before I could even say, this could be really good, she already says, you know, you need to ditch Aiden, which is basically what she said. And I'm saying, Jesus, can you not get it right? Even when you get it right, can you not get it right? Yes, eventually, that's what you do. Eventually. But don't you understand that now what this looks like is poor Aiden English, who's loyal to Rusev, is going to get dumped because Rusev is going to listen to his bitch of a wife who is jealous of their relationship, apparently, or what he can do for Rusev and doesn't want him hanging around when the storyline should not be that. Lana and Rusev's storyline should be they're happy, everything's fine, she loves everyone, he loves everyone. They're the good guys. Aiden English should be the guy who gets jealous of, well, now that she's in the picture, I'm third wheel. He's not listening to me. And he backstabs Rusev. That's the money. Making Lana the heel and getting Rusev to mistreat Aiden English or kick him to the curb doesn't make Rusev a face. It makes him a, basically, you know, for lack of a better word, it makes him a guy who's pussy whipped. Oh, my wife tells me to ditch you, so I'm ditching you. How do we cheer for a guy like that? Can you not get one thing right, WWE? This is the easiest goddamn thing in the world. Lana comes in. Rusev is all happy, saying, "I'm so happy, my best friend, and now my wife is here, and it really is Rusev Day." And Aiden English smiles and says, "Yeah, that's wonderful," but you kind of tell he don't think it's wonderful. And there's the storyline. The happy couple are oblivious that the best friend doesn't think this is cool. That's your money. Lana is popular. Why are you trying to make her not unpopular? It drives me up the wall when the WWE does this, because I truly believe they do it just to say, well, Wrestling 101 would do this, so we won't do that. Because that would be Wrestling 101, and we want to think outside the box. Sometimes thinking in the box is the correct way to think, especially if it's what the fans want. Before the fans could even say, yeah, yeah, this is going to be great, there was like kind of like that hush over the crowd, and they were like, they're going to break up Rusev Day. We don't want that. No, they don't want that. Hello, WWE, we don't want that. Not yet. And when we do, we'll let you know. And when we do, it'll be Aiden English who's the bad guy. It'll be Aiden English who's doing the backstabbing. It'll be Aiden English who's saying crap about Lana behind her back. It'll be Aiden English who's sabotaging Rusev without him knowing. So the fans can all say, freaking Aiden English. Wait till they find out. Not, oh, man, Lana showed up and spoiled the party. And that's what it is. You can't have Lana show up and spoil the party and then say, oh, how come Lana's not popular? Sabretooth, that drove me nuts.
Yeah, me too. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, like, something like Aiden English, like, pointing out someone was there. I knew who it was, and lo and behold, it's Lana with a Rusev Day shirt on. I'm like you. I was excited for it, and like you said, they just threw a turd in the punch bowl with the whole, you're good now, but you have a good match with the Undertaker, but you lost, and something's holding you back. I'm like, oh hell, they still can't get it through their head that people want to cheer Rusev as well as Lana. They have not got that memo. I mean, we have not gotten. I mean. Well, like you said, it's too soon to be breaking these guys up, because even though they're popular, we haven't – I mean, even though the fans have embraced Rusev Day, Rusev really hasn't – I mean, he hasn't really acknowledged the fact that how popular he is. I mean, he knows he is, but we wanted like, to get that same feeling in return from them. But they're not going to get that, because Lana came back, and she's going to just spoil the whole thing. So we're not going to get the whole, we love y'all love us, and we love y'all back. We're not going to get that.
No, and we're not going to get the opportunity to say, uh-oh, Rusev and Lana don't realize that this guy is not out for their best interest. Right now, Aiden English hasn't done anything that fans would hate him for. He seems like the innocuous guy who comes out and sings to them, and they're like, he's pretty cool. He's kind of won me over. He sings Rusev Day, and it's kind of funny, and he's all right. He's an okay guy, and I like the fact that they're buddies, you know? Okay, that's what fans are saying right now. Oh, they're a good buddy team. And Rusev is this big, powerful guy who, you know, he's the Bulgarian brute. And then his wife's going to come up and go, yes, ma'am, I will dump my best friend for you. And every guy in the audience is like, oh, fuck that. Figures his wife shows up and ruins the party. We don't want Lana to show up and ruin the party. We want Lana to show up and say, let's party. And then Aiden English is the turd in the punch bowl. Aiden English is the guy who spoils Rusev Day for the fans, because then you still have Rusev Day. See, that's the way it goes. If right now Aiden English gets kicked to the curb for anything, Rusev's the bad guy. Rusev's the guy who ditched his friend because his wife was, on a tirade about, I don't like him. It's the equivalent of every guy who's ever been married or had a girlfriend who said, I don't like your best friend and I don't want you hanging out with him. Okay, yes, ma'am. And guys are going to be like, I don't like that. I don't want to see the Bulgarian brute reduced to, okay, I won't hang out with my friends. You can't do it, WWE. Now, maybe they're not going to do it. Maybe they got time to change this. They got time for Lana to just say, look, I never did trust him. I mean, they could have a moment next week where Lana says, okay, if that's what you think's best, hon. You know, he seems like a nice guy, whatever. I want what's best for you. I want what you want. Then maybe it'll work. But I don't think the WWE is going to do it, because the seeds that they planted are Lana's here and she wants to take things over and she don't want that guy involved. And that's not the way to handle this at all, Mike.
It really isn't. And just just a minute, let's do some wrestling history right here. Remember when Hogan and Savage were together as the Mega Powers, and you had Elizabeth there, and all of a sudden the cracks were starting to show, and then the break came, and Miss Elizabeth did not go with Savage. She went with Hogan because Savage was mistreating her and all that stuff. That was the gimmick. That should be the gimmick here. That should be until they should all be together until something happens, preferably, like you said, the jealousy starts to show from Aiden English. Preferably that. That's when the break should come.
Of course. And it's fine if Lana wanted to, after 2 or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, if Lana wanted to say, how much do you trust Aiden? I mean, there's something that just seems off to me. And Rusev says, no, he's my best friend. He's a great guy. And says, okay, I just, you know, I want what's best for you. That works. It's okay for her to express a little concern. It's not okay for her to show up the first night and say, you had a great match with The Undertaker, but you have an anchor around your neck, and then roll her eyes at him like, what did he even cost anybody anything? You can't have Lana be the antagonist in this storyline. You can't have it. The fans want to see Rusev and Lana together as a couple, happy and enjoying the fans' adulation and returning it. And Aiden English being the proverbial turd in the punch bowl who says, I'm not going to allow it, and I'm going to come out and sing negative songs about Lana and Rusev. Eventually. And when I mean eventually, I mean July. Okay? I mean July. Or August. Let it breathe. Lana just showed up. There was no need to throw that extra. You almost went from like the prologue of a book to chapter 5. And you're just like, did you really need to do that? Could you just let it sit in that Lana's here now? That was enough. Don't give away too much of the story yet. Lana's here. Everybody's smiling and happy. Cool. Nope, you had to throw in that extra. And that's what bothers me, Sabretooth.
Right. And how long has Lana been gone? I mean, she just came back. She's doing this. No, give us a chance to love Lana again. I mean,
yep.
I mean, like you said, it might be wrestling one-on-one, but sometimes wrestling one-on-one is the right and obvious choice. I mean, Lana comes back. She's happy that Rusev is being loved with Rusev Day. They're all, you know, you got these three people who are happy, enjoying their success, but then Aiden English notices that Lana is more popular than he is, because like, when she was gone, it was just him and Rusev.
Right.
He was like, you know, he was like having the, you know, like having all the praise and adulation. Now that Lana's back, they all love Lana more than him. That's obvious. That's reference 101, but it's obvious. Don't go against it.
Of course, if you're going to book this, you book this that you have skits where Aiden English says, are we going to go do this or that tonight? And he says, well, no, you know, I'm going with my wife. We're going to go do whatever. And Aiden English says, oh, okay, I get it. But he doesn't really get it, and he's mad. And eventually he starts doing little negative things or planting seeds of doubt in Rusev's mind about what Lana's motivations are or what's going on about this, that, and the other thing. And then if you could come to that moment where he could actually do something horrible to Lana, set her up to get, you know, take a blow that he should have took or something, trying to get rid of her, then you have Rusev who could just tear through Aiden English, and you've set the groundwork. You've set the foundation that Rusev's a nice guy, and he can be a funny guy, and he can be, you know, a big, giant teddy bear of a dude. But if you mess with his wife, he will rip your freaking head off your shoulders. Aiden English found out. Aiden English is a mid-carder at best and a low mid-carder. So you use him as the example. Oh, man, Aiden English just respected Lana, and look what happened to freaking Aiden English. But would that happen if Samoa Joe did it? See how you work that? You have set an example for the fans. The one thing you do not do is you do not disrespect Rusev's wife, or you get a different Rusev. And maybe then down the road you have Rusev and Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe does the same thing, and you're like, man, it's on. Now it's on. That's how you handle that kind of thing, Sabretooth, so that it plants the seeds in fans' minds of what will come.
Right. And also, I mean, and also, like you said, I mean, like, it's like a low mid-carder. But, I mean, if you do it like that, though, it would, like, boost him. I mean, it would, I mean, even though he is that, it would get him major heat, though. I mean, if they did it that
sure.
way, it would have been not so much. I mean, cause that storyline, what you just described, it helps everyone.
It does help everyone, because even if Aiden English gets his head torn off, you still say, yeah, but, you know, look at the amount of TV time he got. He could go on to a feud with another guy who's not Rusev, who you just pissed off by disrespecting his wife. So, yeah, of course it helps Aiden English. It helps Lana, who now, you know, seems endearing, more endearing to us because she went through this trauma. Rusev, who stuck up for his wife. You have your ducks in a row if you do it that way. If you do it the other way, you're lessening Lana's appeal. You're definitely lessening Rusev's appeal. And you're almost making Aiden English the face. And I don't get that, Mike. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And look, here's something else you could throw into this thing. We know she's decent in the ring. You know, you can have, as a part of the disrespect, she's working her way up to possibly a title match, possibly not. But she cost her some matches, you know. And there's a bone of contention between him and Rusev. What are you doing? Why are you costing my wife her matches, you know?
There's so many things you could do with it. There's such a wealth of ideas that you could come up with to make Aiden English the bad guy, the turd in the punch bowl. There's only one for Lana. She's here now, and she doesn't want anybody else sharing Rusev's attention. And that's not good, because that doesn't help Rusev, who looks pussy whipped, and it doesn't help Lana, who looks like a bitch. That makes them both the heels. And I just don't like it. And it's exactly the opposite of what WWE fans are asking for, Todd, and I don't know why they're insisting on giving it to us.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, they should have done this the other way, have Lana hang out with Rusev and Aiden English as a face, not the other way around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, that's just the way it goes. I could come up with 10 things in 5 minutes. You could have, just like we said, Aiden English get jealous over the fact that, well, I'm kind of the third wheel here now. And I'm not, you know, me and Rusev used to hang out and go out to dinner after the matches. And now it's his wife. I got to get rid of that bitch. That's one. The second one is she's so nice to Aiden English and says, no, you know, I'll come out for your matches too. And we're a team here, Rusev Day, you know, let's go. And he misunderstands that as she's got the hots for me. And then when she says, I was nice to you, but it wasn't anything like this. I was nice to you because you're his best friend. Then he's the bad guy again, because he overthought her. He took her niceness for a come on. Because he's out for himself. There's a million ways you can get to Aiden English screws this team up and he's the heel. And there's only one way that you make it the opposite, and the WWE chose that way. At least that's what it looks like, and I can't understand it. I cannot understand it. Anyway, I mean, that's what SmackDown was. It wasn't really anything. It was a very, very cookie-cutter show. Simple as that, a cookie-cutter show. But we do have a couple of things to talk about on the back end of the show. And one is that there is a rumor that Charlotte and Carmella are going to close the show on Sunday, that they're going to be the main event. If that's true, I'm promising you it's because of the Greatest Royal Rumble. Because while that match is a big match, it is not AJ Styles versus Nakamura. For the belt. So I'm telling you right now that if they close the show, they're closing the show for two reasons. One, to make up for them not being at the Greatest Royal Rumble. And two, it was Carmella herself who caused the uproar in Saudi Arabia by, oh my God, they showed her commercial and she was dancing in a leotard. So they make it the main event. If they do, it's pandering. If they do, it's here, we'll throw you a cookie. Here's your cookie. Here's a fish, and I'll bark like a seal, and it's going to leave a bad taste in my mouth again. Not liking the way the WWE's doing this. telling you this is going to hurt them in the long run. I'm telling you. This kind of stuff is going to hurt you in the long run. And then the only guy who speaks up about this to any degree is Corey Graves, who tweets, you know, before we talk about how bad a country we have, let's at least understand that in our country, women have rights. And he used a little flag emoji. Instead of WWE saying, you know, right on. The truth is, he's getting heat backstage. And he was apparently told by someone, you're not as irreplaceable as you seem to think you are. Let that sink in for a minute. And then we find out, Sami Zayn wasn't even told why he was off the show. He legitimately didn't know. He was just told, we're doing this angle where you're going to be sick and you're not going. And he thought, well, maybe this is leading to something with me and Kevin Owens. I don't know what it's leading to. They didn't tell me, but I'm not going. I'm sure he suspected. But the truth is, Sami Zayn's wrestled in Saudi Arabia before on several occasions. But this was before he did his Sammy for Syria thing. So don't talk to me about how great the country is making strides. That's taking 5 steps backwards. If Sami Zayn was allowed to wrestle 2 years ago and he's not allowed to wrestle this year, how is that moving forward for that country? You know, you just can't do this. You just can't. And this is leading to a whole bunch of bad decisions. It's going to, if it leads to Carmella and Charlotte having the main event, everyone is going to say, even if they're wrong, maybe I'm being cynical, but everyone's going to say, oh, they gave the girls the main event, did they? Well, isn't that nice of them? That was throwing a cookie to them. That was throwing a fish to the barking seals. That's what's going to be said. Whether it's right or it's wrong, that's what they're going to say. And if Corey Graves gets punished or fired or whatever, they're going to say, oh, he dared to speak out against, repression in a country the WWE was getting paid big money for, and they axed his ass. How's that going to look into the eyes of the wrestling fans? Or, oh, Sami Zayn says, I didn't know. I'm not allowed to wrestle there. I wrestled there plenty. I've wrestled there many times. I didn't know it had anything to do with the fact that I have Syrian blood. Wow, whoa, hold the phone. Nobody told me that. That doesn't look good. I don't know what the hell the WWE's doing. Bad situation, Mike, and it's getting uglier.
It really is. And look, if I'm, okay, you're going to throw us a cookie for the barking seals, then fine. And if I'm Charlotte and I'm a Carmella, I go to the WWE. You're going to throw me your cookie? All right, fine. Let us go out there and do what we do. Give us 20 minutes or whatever to do this match. You can tell us who wins, whatever. That's the way the sport goes. But let us do this match. Let us call this match. And let us put on the match we know we can put on. You know? If you're going to treat us like that, then fine. Let us put on the match we want to put on. And
they may do it, Mike. They may do that. But it still doesn't solve the problem. When they were in Canada, I don't know if you guys noticed, but somebody held up a sign that said, women welcome in our country. And it was right on camera. Now, you got to understand that when fans take the time to make a sign, something bothered them. Or they like or they hate something. This guy didn't make a sign saying, marry me, Carmella. This guy didn't make a sign saying, Roman Reigns sucks. This guy didn't make a sign saying, this is the house that AJ Styles built. This guy took the time to make a sign that says women are welcome in our country. That means that person was angry. And if one is, many are. And this was just a bad move all the way around, Sabretooth. Just a horrible move.
Yeah, like I said, and I'm still disgusted by the WWE for even doing this, man. I'm like, I mean, the moment – I mean, they shouldn't have even – I mean, the moment that they said that women couldn't – that women weren't allowed to wrestle in your – you know, whenever y'all come over – whenever they said the women went – whenever y'all come over here that the women can't wrestle, that deal should have been off the damn table. That should have been off the table. I mean, it should have been on the table to get – and all truth be told, it shouldn't have been on the table to begin with. I mean – but the moment that they said that, though, the whole deal should have been off, man. And also, it's funny how their sponsors are so nitpicky about stuff on TV, how we can't get the stuff that fans want, but the sponsors are just fine with them making a deal like it's with Saudi Arabia. I mean, what are the sponsors?
No, that's a little weird. And let me tell you something else. Arya Daivari, who came out with the Iranian flag, if you remember, in the Greatest Royal Rumble with his brother, received death threats, and was forced to issue an apology on his Twitter account saying, "I'm only playing a character. This is no different than a movie or a television show that you would watch. None of what I said reflects my own views, and I'm sorry if I insulted anyone." Why does a professional athlete, to satisfy one country, why does that have to happen? I want you to ask yourself that. Has that ever happened in the history of films? When Bruce Willis played a rapist in a film, did he have to say, "I want to apologize to every woman who has ever been raped"? I'm not really a rapist. I'm really a nice guy. But I'm an actor, and as an actor, I have to play roles, diverse roles, and I thought that this role was very diverse from what I normally play, so I decided to take it. I apologize to anyone if they were offended by it. Are you kidding me? It just shows they don't even understand wrestling. Why are we there? Okay, so there are a few kids who loved it. Okay, so there are a few families who came and said, "Yeah, we're more hip, we get it." Well, I feel sorry for them families. Then you know what? Get out of your country then and come to a country who understands what the people want, because we can't have this. We just can't have this. The WWE is going to pay for this in the long run. I warned everybody. People said, oh, you're overreacting. They've been there before. It's not that big of a deal. It's a water under the bridge. It'll be forgotten in a week. And I told everybody, no, it won't. This is going to grow and fester. And now it's growing and festering. You got Sami Zayn figuring out, wait a minute, that's why I wasn't allowed to come? You got guys in the audience holding up signs saying women are welcome in our country. You got the country's athletic commission saying that all the women that were depicted in that video are lewd and indecent women. You got Corey Graves pissed off saying, you know, "I'm glad to get out of that country because at least our country, we women have rights," and being called the bad guy for doing it. Crazy. It's a crazy move. And if you said to me, "I'm doing it once and we're out of there," but you signed a 10-year deal to keep going back and keep subjecting yourself to this, I'm telling you. Not good. Not good. So they'll probably give Charlotte in. Because let's think about it. What would the main event be? It's not going to be The Miz and Seth. It's not going to be. It should be, probably, because that'll probably be the best match. But it's not going to be The Miz and Seth Rollins. Who, by the way, even though I know it's not SmackDown, I watched a video of Seth Rollins after Raw went off the air. Remember I told you on our Monday Night Raw recap that Seth Rollins is hitting all the right buttons with the fans. He figured it out. He figured out how to be a good guy. After his match with Finn Balor, you can YouTube it, Raw went off the air. Seth Rollins was getting a huge reaction. People were chanting, "Thank you, Seth." And he said, "Look, I wasn't kidding you when I came out here and said the traveling and everything has been brutal the last couple of weeks for all of us, not me, not just me, everybody in that locker room. We don't see our family. We don't see our friends. We don't see our dog. And it can be depressing. But when you come into a place like this and you get this reaction, you realize you are my family. You are my friends. and this is my home. And that doesn't just go for me. It goes for everyone in the back, every single one of us, male and female. And he got a huge reaction. That's how you handle a crowd, Mike. That's what the WWE needs more of. Seth Rollins now is making a push to be that guy.
Yes, and that's how you handle a crowd. And that's what made people like Hogan so good. He knew how to do that, you know. He wasn't the greatest wrestler. We've said that over and over and over again. But he knew how to handle a crowd. Bobby Heenan knew how to handle a crowd. You know, and that's the case. Now, as far as this thing, the guy with the sign, if you notice what happened, they must have stayed on that sign a good 10 to 15 seconds. So,
yep.
You know, and either the cameraman made a mistake or they made it a point to stay on that sign. So you take your pick, you know.
Well, again, I don't want to belabor this too much, but I will tell you this. If I were in charge of the WWE, and maybe I would be out $200 million, I get it. But if I were in charge of the WWE and the state athletic commission or the country's athletic dictatorship, whatever the hell they are down there, issued that statement calling all the women in my division lewd and indecent, I would have issued my own apology. And my apology would have went like this. We are sorry to our WWE fans in Saudi Arabia, who we really appreciate and we hope still continue to watch our product. But as your country currently exists, we cannot present our product without being censored. And we do not agree with censorship. Therefore, we are cutting ties and we are forfeiting on this contract. We also apologize to our fans in the United States and surrounding countries and our women's division because we feel we probably made an error in judgment that we are correcting now. That's what the WWE needed to do. And not about to do it, Sabretooth.
And it's sad that they're not because I don't want to say that. Because even though they're unofficially saying it, but in a way they're agreeing with what they're agreeing with it. Our women aren't shit. I mean, like they are lesser than our male talent. I mean, you're agreeing with it, but I mean, if they're still in this contract, they are basically agreeing with it. I mean, like you said last week, if you have a band and you went somewhere where they didn't allow black people, and they said black people couldn't come, and that band went along with it. They are agreeing in a way they are advocating it. I mean, they are.
Yes. Yes, you are selling your principles. I said, and I continue to say, I am a musician. I would never play a place that refused to allow people based on their skin color, their sexuality, or their gender, or their religion, or anything else. I mean, if you want to play an all-girls, you know, party, I get that. Or if you want to play a male bachelor party, I get that. I'm not playing a Ku Klux Klan rally, okay? Because I don't agree with you. And if I sit there and sing for you and say, well, I don't care, money's money, I am giving you credibility, and I refuse to give you credibility. The WWE can appreciate their Saudi fans by simply saying, we do appreciate you. We're happy to have your support, and we're glad you're with us and you can see us on television. But as your country currently stands today, we are not allowed to present our product in the way that we normally present it. And therefore, we cannot come. We hope you still continue to follow us on television, and we certainly appreciate your support. But that's the way it goes. I'm sorry. That's the way it goes. And if you don't do it, Sabretooth, he's exactly right when he says you're condoning it. You're basically giving it your stamp of approval. And the WWE should not have given it the stamp of approval. And for all those people who said, oh, well, you know, the women didn't care. There's house shows women don't show up on to and things like that. Really? Well, how about a guy with Syrian blood? He can't come? And the WWE didn't have the balls to tell him to his face why? He has to find out a week later? You got a guy who gets death threats just because he's playing the heel and had the nerve to say something bad about their country, and they say, well, we can't do that here. You can play a bad guy here. You can cheat. You can hit somebody with a chair from behind, but you can't say anything bad about Saudi Arabia. If you do, we can put you in prison. So let's give them death threats. Are you kidding me? Stay the hell out. Do you need the money that bad? Mike, this is going to be a PR nightmare. I'm telling you, it's going to get worse.
Especially, look, you don't need the money that bad, especially if you got your owner, giving up, 10-20% of his shares to go and start the XFL or some football league again. You don't need the money. You don't need the $200 million. That's about what Vince gave up, in his shares to go and try and restart the XFL or whatever he's going to do. So, yeah. You don't need that. You really don't. And that's, again, PR nightmare. At one point, they knew what PR is. They don't anymore for some reason. And they've lost.
No, and I got to tell you, Mike, and it hurts me to say it, but the two shows, Raw and SmackDown, following the Greatest Royal Rumble, I just don't look at them the same anymore. I hope it passes. But I'm looking at them and I'm saying, where are the guys who say, no, I'm not going? Where are the people saying, no, this ain't right? Where are those people? And the last person I expected it out of is Corey Graves. And when he does raise a minimal objection by saying, I'm glad to be back in a country where women have rights, he's called on the carpet. Oh, don't you dare mention that. They may look at us negatively, and they're our sugar daddy. I mean, that's awful, Sabretooth.
Yeah, and I'm like you, man. After this, I can't look at them the same way again because they they pride themselves on, like you said, when they, whenever, Black History Month come around, they come around talking about, how big they are on civil rights or this is, Women's Month. I mean, they do all of this stuff, but now with this deal with Saudi Arabia, all that stuff, it means dick now. It doesn't mean a damn thing because y'all jumped in bed with the very people that y'all advocate against, I mean, for Susan B. Komen, Women's Breast, Women Awareness Month and stuff like that, it's all irrelevant now. I mean, they just put themselves back 100 years with this whole Saudi deal.
I wonder how Ronda Rousey feels, I can't. What are you going to do? The very fact that we're talking about it a week after it happened tells you a lot. It tells you how important it is. It's not just us. We're not the only wrestling fans in the world who feel this way. So look what you've lost for your $150 million, or whatever the hell it is. You've lost credibility. You've lost goodwill. You've lost that specialness in the eyes of the fans of trying to start this women's revolution and do it the right way. You'll notice Stephanie McMahon's ass hasn't been on television. And she's not been exactly answering questions about it because she probably feels like a fool. While Vince and The Undertaker and other people were dining with the Prince, Stephanie McMahon was told, stay the fuck home. Don't even fly out here. We don't want you around. Anyway, back to SmackDown. Let's rate it, Mike. It was a very weird show. So what do you say?
I'll say a C-. Matches were fine. They had some flub-ups, It's not... It's nothing more than a C-minus show. And, yeah, you're right. And look, as far as Corey Graves goes, he's cultivated this whole thing about being a heel manager, heel persona, as a commentator. But saying what he said, that's going to make it hard for him to get over as a heel persona anymore,
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. Todd, what's your rating?
I got to go with Mike there. I got to go with a C-.
And Sabretooth?
C-, week going home show, last match. Last week, really got a table dumped on her. This week, she comes out dancing and singing like it didn't happen. Terrible. There's no heat in this women's match. I mean, she came out furious. She comes out moonwalking and dancing, C-.
Yeah, and we should talk about the women's match, but it was no big deal. The bad guys lost, and, you know, Asuka's back to being Superman, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, folks, Sunday we will be here with our big Backlash pre-show. We'll talk to you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.